I want to turn back to God's word, to Jesus' words there, recorded by the Apostle John, in chapter 12, verses 35 through 43. You know, I want you to take your pens out of your pew, and right next to the sermon where you see the title is A Limited Time Offer, right in there next to that, Children of Light. I think as I read through this text again, see if you can see where the turn occurs. Okay? As I was studying this text earlier this week, I was so taken by the opportunity that God gives us for salvation and the consequences for those who miss that opportunity. But only later, as I was finishing the work on my sermon, did I feel God's hand turning me towards this second and really more powerful word from Jesus, and that is children of light. See if you can see that in this text. John 12, beginning at verses 35 and reading through verse 43. Then Jesus said to the Pharisees, "A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of the light." These things Jesus spoke and then departed and was hidden from them. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. That the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, "Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." These things Isaiah said when he saw God's glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, even among the rulers of the temple, many believed in Jesus, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praises of men more than the praise of God. There's an old Chinese proverb I know you have heard, and it goes like this: opportunity only knocks once. Well, that's not true for salvation. God will knock as many times as it's going to take to save those who will believe. But some will not believe. And there's another Chinese proverb you may not know so well, and it goes like this: when opportunity knocks, a man still has to get up off his seat and open the door. I think all people throughout time have recognized the importance of opportunities that come up in our lives, and they recognize generally that opportunities are often fleeting. You should take advantage of them when they come. Webster's dictionary describes opportunity as a combination of circumstances favorable to your purpose. So in order to recognize an opportunity when it comes to you, you have to have a pretty good idea where you're going, what your purpose is. Where do you want to go? When you've got a handle in your life on where you want to go, then you're able to recognize the opportunities that come that are favorable to your purpose. But you know, another question presents itself in our world today. Where do opportunities come from? The unbeliever believes that opportunities are just accidents, time, just random chance. And I have bad news. If that's true, then your opportunity may never come. Bad luck. But the Bible, God's word, says that opportunities come from two causes, two sources. First of all, God himself presents opportunities. It is God who opens up opportunities in your life. And the opportunities that God brings to you are always for your good and always for the good of others. Always. But there's another actor. There's another source of opportunities in your life. You see, Satan will bring opportunities to you also. And the Bible says that the opportunities that Satan brings are always to your injury and the injury of others. Always. In this morning's text, Jesus describes the opportunity for eternal life. And he also describes an amazing change God will work in your life. But Jesus also describes the consequences of not getting off your seat to open the door. Verse 36 in our text this morning describes the opportunity that God brings to you. Jesus says, "While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light." You see, God makes you a light to shine in the darkness. To understand the nature of this opportunity, we need to understand, first of all, that Jesus is the light. Second of all, Jesus calls you to believe in him. And third, and perhaps most amazing, then Jesus calls you to become the light. Jesus is the light. What does that mean? Well, think about what light is. You look outside our frosted windows. If they weren't frosted, you'd be able to see the world out there as it really is. You'd see it was snowing. You'd see the snow accumulation on the ground. You'd see what's going on outside. When it's dark, and you look out those windows, you don't see anything. You don't know what's really going on out there. Without light, there's only darkness. And you know what you can know? Do you know how much you understand really going on in the dark? Nothing. Many years ago, when I was in the Navy, I was sent to a jungle survival course in the Philippines. And the Philippine jungle has about 6 layers of canopy, trees taller than other trees with more trees taller than them on top of that. And by these 6 layers of jungle canopy, they're so thick that even in the middle of the day, very little light filters down to the bottom of the jungle, so that even in the middle of the day, you can only see, barely see where you're going. But at night, there's no light in the jungle. And so as we were in the jungle for about 4 days and it rained all the time, you put up a little fire to cook your meal, and then the last thing you do before it gets dark is you build a hooch to sleep on, because you don't want to sleep on the ground because there are snakes on the ground and centipedes and all kinds of crawling, creepy things you don't want to sleep with. So you build your hooch before it gets dark, but once the dark comes, the fire dies out in the rain, it always does. And the guides who were running the course for us, they told us, they said, "Don't get out of your hooch. Don't do it. Because it's so dark, you will never find your way back. You think you're going to get up maybe just to go a couple of feet. You will not find your way back." And they told about the men who had gotten out of their hooch in the middle of the night. And they had to go find them in the dark jungle. hours after the sun finally came up. Light is necessary to see where you're going. And in the Bible, light is another word for truth. If you're walking in the dark, you can't see the truth of what the ground is like around you. You can't avoid boulders and fallen trees and holes and cliffs and other dangers. You can't see them. They're there. You just don't know the truth about it because it's dark. Light reveals the reality of all these hazards and dangers so that you can move safely from one place to another. The reality of life is this. Whether you know it or not, each one of us is moving forward. Each day, each hour, each moment of your life, you are moving forward through time to an eternal destiny. And whether you can see where you're going or not, you're still moving towards it. And for most people in the world, they are moving forward each day, totally blind to the rocks and the cliffs and the hazards and the snares that lay before them. And so what happens? They stumble and they fall into temptation. They suffer grief in their lives and they cause grief in the lives of others because they can't see where they're going. But not only do most people stumble along in the dark, spiritual darkness, day by day, they also can't see where their ultimate destination is. Where are they going to end up? Jesus says in verse 35, he who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. They're headed for destruction. They're actually running toward a terrible chasm that lays before them that they cannot see. And that chasm is eternal pain and suffering that goes beyond death. And so thinking people, thoughtful people, look for light. God has provided light in this world. He tells us that his word is light. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, God's word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. God uses his Ten Commandments to show you how to avoid the rocks and the snares of life. His Ten Commandments also reveal the holiness of God, and it shows us the terrible chasm towards which we are all headed. But the light of God's word also shows us another way. It shows us that narrow path that leads to eternal life. John 1:14, speaking of the word of God, John 1:14 says, the word of God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, Jesus is the word of God. He is light, and he is truth. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus shows your need for another way, another path, a safe path to eternal life. And Jesus came to show you that way. He lived a perfect life for you. He died for you. He was raised again to eternal life for you. And he is the only light and the only guide you have to eternal life. Jesus is the light. He's the truth. And Jesus calls you to believe. He calls you to believe. Believing is rising up off your seat and opening the door. Revelations 3:20, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. Jesus Christ is the very living Word of God, not only full of truth and life and light, but also Jesus, his Word shows you the opportunity to turn from the path that leads to destruction, and it shows you that narrow path that leads to eternal life. And Jesus' call, his call in your life, actually creates the desire in your heart to get up off your seat and open that door to him. He gives you the assurance that your sins have been paid for by his atoning sacrifice on the cross. His call convinces you that yes, indeed, he has prepared a place for you in heaven. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Word become flesh, and that he creates faith in your heart. But you have to respond. And so he says in verse 36, while you have the light, be believing in the light. How is it that we are to believe? What does he call us to do in believing? He tells us in Mark 1:15, Jesus says, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent now and believe the good news. Your sins are forgiven by faith in Jesus Christ. Will this open door, will this opportunity for salvation last forever for everyone? Well, we'd like to think so. You know, Christians love these words from Lamentations 3:23. The Lord's mercies and his compassions are new every morning. They fail not. Don't we love those verses? These words are true for those who love the Lord. But these words from verse 35 are also true, and this is law and gospel. Jesus says, walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. When God calls you to believe, then be believing. Because those who turn away from belief, those who turn away from the light, Jesus says they will be overtaken by darkness. And this means that their heart will become so darkened and so hardened that they will never come to the light. Every time a person comes close to God, just as you are coming close to God right now because you're hearing his very word, every time a person comes close to God, whether through the word or through sacraments, if that person turns away unbelieving, their heart is hardened until finally they are lost beyond saving, overcome by the darkness. It's not given for you or to me to know when that happens, and I thank God for that. He calls us to share the word with people, but God knows when that happens. And when that hardness has occurred and that person is overtaken completely by darkness, then our text reminds us, just as God did with Pharaoh, they can never come to the light. So in verse 37, we read that even though the Pharisees saw the miracles that Jesus did, which pointed directly to his divinity, that he is God with us, they did not believe in him. Don't you ask yourself sometimes, how could they not believe? He raised three people from the dead. How could they not believe? Verse 41 and 43 tells us that the leaders of the temple, they knew Jesus is God with us, and yet they would not confess him In other words, they wouldn't receive him. Why? Because they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. Dear friends, you cannot remain on your seat when the opportunity of salvation comes to you by the grace of God, pure, undeserved grace. We dare not let God's grace slip out of our grasp. Indeed, depending on where your heart is, it may never come again. Because Jesus is your one and your only opportunity for eternal life. Jesus is the light. Jesus calls you to believe. But then here's the turn. Here's the amazing turn. Jesus calls believers to become light. Verse 36, Jesus says, "While you have the light, be believing in the light, that you may become sons of the light." If you know Jesus as your Savior, you are a son of the light or a daughter of the light. More than saved from hell, more than having eternal life, you are sons of the light means that you have become part of the family of light. You are changed. Believers are not only walking in the light, but in believing, God transforms your heart so that you become part of the light. Ephesians 5:8 reads, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk therefore as children of the light, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." In other words, shine your light on them. Now you're thinking maybe your light's a pretty small light, as is mine. Light is never as bright at the beginning of faith as it will be at the end, but it's light nevertheless. The smallest candle that you light, maybe a birthday candle, you look into that white, pure, brilliant flame, and you're seeing the same light, the same pureness, the same brightness as a mighty torch. And so it is that when you become a son or a daughter of light, you have that light in you the moment you believe. God makes you a light to shine in the darkness. I'm reminded of our Christmas Eve service. How do we end it? We prepare to sing Silent Night. Each one has their own candle. We start with one candle, and then neighbor lights neighbor's candle. Your candle is lit, and then you light another neighbor's candle until finally, even though our church lights are all out, all the candles held by the congregation light the whole building. And for those outside in the darkness, they can see the light. And you're holding just one small candle. But so is your neighbor, and your neighbor, and your brother, and your sister. Matthew 5:14, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. The church is a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden." And so, as sons and daughters of light, you're called to shine in the darkness. You're called to bring light to another who's still stumbling and falling and hurting themselves in the dark, headed for destruction. Dear brothers and sisters, Christians must not neglect and never despise those who are lost in the dark. But with the same agape love with which God saved you, bring your light to them. bring the light of Christ to them, to these dear lost souls. Jesus is the light. Jesus calls lost sinners to believe in him. And Jesus calls you, if you are believing in Jesus, he calls you to be a light also in this dark world. And we can only do this because of the amazing grace of our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.